Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 18. This is such a tender passage of Scripture. This isn't a hellfire and brimstone text, that's for sure. It's tender, it's precious. And I don't know if those are even adequate adjectives to describe these verses that we get into. I'd like to preach for a little while on friendship like none other. Out of these first four verses of 1 Samuel chapter number 18. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David. And his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul sent him over to the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his ten thousands. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David ten thousands, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd breathe upon us tonight. By the power of your Holy Spirit, we'd be able to really have the service tonight that would be beneficial, not for just the days to come, but for eternity. And Lord, I pray you'd speak to us and hush us. Let the Word of God fall on good ground of our heart. May we open our hearts tonight that we might learn of you. We need you. This message has been convicting and challenging to me, and I pray that I'd be able to give it in a spirit of grace, that it might be accepted and received, and we'd be able to be the better Christians in the days to come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. David is now some sort of a national hero all of a sudden. Boom! He's on the top charts, so to speak. His victory over Goliath has spread like a wildfire in Kansas. Me and Brother Buddy were just talking about how it's so dry already. Boy, you get a fire out in Kansas with nothing to stop it and just a bunch of, just the plains, you know. You can drive out there on the road and you can just look forever and you just look as far as you can look and there's not trees and there's no mountains and it's dry. Well, that's kind of how his popularity spread. I mean, the women are singing his praises. I mean, it's spreading. We'll talk about how David handled that a little bit tonight. But there's relationships that are being spoken of here in this chapter. One, the relationship David has with many people. Many people are singing his praises. And then there's a relationship with two individuals that bubble up, and that's the relationship with Saul And that is one of jealousy and envy. And then there was the relationship with Jonathan, and that's one of kinship and brotherhood and really just Christ-likeness. Three different sets of relationships. Jonathan, the son of Saul, realizes something very peculiar and special about David. God gave David favor with Jonathan, no doubt. No doubt God gave David favor with Jonathan. There's no doubt about that. But also, Jonathan had to have some sort of unique insight from the Lord. See, Jonathan was about 40 years old, they say, and David probably somewhere around 20. And nobody could have put these two together like this but God. There's no reason Jonathan would even want to befriend David. No reason. No reason. He doesn't have any reason to do this. He has every reason to be envious of him, because he's taking all the glory. He's not taking the glory. He's getting all the glory. He's getting all the credit. He's getting all the accolades, right? And most people don't like when that happens, when it should be coming to them, because they're the son of the king. Are you tracking what I'm saying? Most people don't like when other people win. I don't know. I don't know if anybody else is flesh and blood, but when somebody else starts winning, usually people talk bad about them and say, well, they must be doing something wrong if they're winning that much. They got to be doing something wrong. They're cheating somewhere. I mean, you know how people are, right? Not Jonathan. Not Jonathan. God had to do that. God had to give David favor with Jonathan. He did it for others, and he can do it for us. He can do it for you. He did it for Joseph in prison. He did it for the Israelites in Egypt. He did it for Esther in the eyes of the king, and God can do it for you. What are we saying? God truly is the author of friendship. Think about something with me real quick. You can't choose your friends. You might think that you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your friends. You can't choose who your friends are, because a friend loveth at all times. So you can't choose who's going to be loyal to you. You might think that you're big enough and strong enough to have the friends you want to have. But listen, let's track back to high school and see how many friends you got left from high school. You know, everybody goes through high school. I don't want to bust your bubble, but everybody goes through high school and think, man, these friends, they're so important to me. I mean, these 16-year-olds, they're so important. Man, these friends, I mean, they're everything to me. Where are they at now? They mean everything then, and then that's just the reality. And even in our age, we think these people are so important. We love people. But you have no ownership over it. We don't know who's going to be loyal to us or not loyal to us. You have to realize this truth in life. Others determine if they're going to be loyal to you or not. You can be lock, stock, and barrel loyal to somebody, and they might not be loyal back to you. You cannot be loyal to somebody. Not really give that loyalty. And they, by God's grace, can somehow be loyal back to you. I've seen both ways. The only thing you can choose is to be loyal to whomever you choose to be loyal to. And true friendship is loyalty. A friendship loveth at all times. Where'd Jonathan come from? Well, David baited him up real good. He schmoozed him up real good. You see, he read Maxwell's book. He read Maxwell's book. Influencing people and winning friends. Hogwash. Where'd Jonathan come from? Jonathan came from heaven. Jonathan came from God. You understand that? And if we've got a friend, we've got a friend that came from God. If we've got one friend, two friends, or 10 friends, they came from God, and they're a gift from God. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. If you've got a friend, they came from God. How in the world did that? Must have been the Lord. Where'd they come from? Why are they choosing to be loyal and friendly and kind to me? God. Christ-like spirit. Right? David, see, didn't know what was coming around the corner. He didn't know what was around the next bend. He just had the biggest victory, Brother Strom, he'd ever had. He was up on that mountain as high as you can get. But he didn't know he was going to go in some of the worst valleys he could ever go through. And God said, I got somebody for you before you know what's fixing to happen to you. Here's my gift, Jonathan. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born of adversity. Isn't that something special right there? Let's talk about four words in the text and then apply friendship. Four words that speak of this friendship that Jonathan had towards David, and then we'll apply friendship. The Bible says that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. The word we want to see is the word knit. Kaylee is a knitter. Come to the house and see if you don't think it's true. She can knit. I mean, I'm telling you what, she can tie that thing, and blah, 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 I mean, for hours. And a couple days later, there'll be a blanket laying there. She loves to knit. She loves to tie things together. To knit means to be chained together, to be tied together like a rope, to be intertwined together. And the word knit really means to be knit together for a purpose. Everything that has happened, listen, everything that has happened thus far would lead you to expect that David and Jonathan would be rivals and not friends. The last time we heard of Jonathan, he was doing his father's work of attacking the Philistines in chapter 13. So you would think if they're doing the same thing, they would be rivals. But instead of rivalry, you've got kinship and brotherhood. Where you expect to see jealousy, you see unity. Boy, that's beautiful, isn't it? You might say that David and Jonathan didn't become rivals, but they became brothers and kins. This isn't the message, but it's imperative that we have that in the church. We don't have to be twins to be brothers. I said that last Sunday, didn't I? We won't be twins, but we are brothers. I said that to somebody by way of telephone call earlier this week. We're not twins, but we are brothers for life eternal. We're knit. We're together for the purpose of reaching the world with the gospel, striving together for the furtherance of the gospel. We're together for the gospel's sake. So we don't strive against one another. We strive together as David and Jonathan did. knitted together, tied together. Knit. Are we knit together? Are we pulling apart from one another? Are we overfolding one another in love and truth and purpose and evangelism and our gifts tied together, wrapped together as a strong rope for the glory of God to reach that sinner? Are we like that gospel net, or do we have holes in the net where the fish can get through? Knit together, endeavoring to keep the unity of the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep the knit, to keep the net, to keep the rope tight. That's kinship. A friendship like none other takes a purposeful knitting among friends of the gospel. Friends of the gospel. Knit. Our second word is the word loved. Uses it twice. Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Because he loved him as his own soul. Verse 1 and verse 3. It's this deep affection these had one for another. It was initiated by Jonathan. We'll speak of this initiation later. But new friendships are always initiated by one person. One person has to initiate it to start it. Somebody's got to strike the match in a friendship. It came from God, but God, somehow Jonathan obeyed God. Somewhere it happened where Jonathan did what God told him to do. So that's not in the Bible. Well, I know it's not in the Bible, but he did the thing that was pleasing to the Lord. The Lord is the author of things that glorify him. Somewhere along the way, Jonathan did the right thing, the God-pleasing thing, and initiated the friendship. Gave him what he gave him. He loved him. Love is not a feeling. Love is a volition. It's a choice and a commitment. You and I don't feel like loving the Lord some days. You and I don't feel like loving our spouses some days. But it's so much deeper than that, isn't it? It's a commitment. It's a loyalty. It's a love that is covenant. That's our third word. Knit, loved, covenant. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved them as his own soul. This is a reference to a binding agreement. Now, Jonathan and David are completely different. David's just a field boy. He's just a sheep herder. He's just a fieldsman. Jonathan's Prince Jonathan. And Prince Jonathan is going to bind him to the shepherd field boy David in love. This speaks that love is always committed. Covenant. We have a covenant love to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we die for the Lord Jesus Christ. We die for him. We have that covenant love. If asked to be martyred or murdered for Jesus, we'd do it. Right? Well, we don't think about that every morning. Sure we don't. But we take up our cross. We deny ourselves. We have a covenant love with the Lord, and we also have a covenant love with one another in the local assembly. We love one another with a pure heart fervently. We love our brother better than we love ourselves. We look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And we have a covenant love for one another. We look out for one another. We think of our brother's need before our own need. It's a covenant that we've made with the Lord and with one another. It's an agreement. It's bound in our heart by the Word of God that rises up within us. And we think of our brother, we think of our sister on Tuesday, Thursday, and on Sunday. And we pray for them. And we think of them. And we consider one another to provoke one another unto love and good works. We consider one another. We have one another's best interest in mind. Why? Because it's Calvary Covenant that started at the cross. If Jesus died on the cross for our sins, then we have a covenant binding in our heart that will love one another like Jesus loved us. That's what we're involved in. That's called the church that's been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's covenant. He said, I made a covenant. Church membership is weak and watery. It ought to be rich and full and committed in a covenant that we have with one another. I thank you that for the most part, you have a covenant with one another and a commitment to the local church that Jesus has washed in His blood. This is serious business. This right here is serious business. Knit, loved, covenant, and a robe. A robe. Love always demonstrates itself. Write it down. Love always gives. Love always demonstrates. Love is demonstrative. It's loud. Love can't be quiet. For God so loved the world that He... Tell me now that He gave His only begotten Son. The robe. The garments. The sword. The bow and the girdle of Jonathan is now David's. This is a climactic moment in the scene because Jonathan's robe was the royal robe. Jonathan was symbolically transferring over his royal rights and prerogatives to David. His passing over his royal weapons and armor and robe had a significance that he was saying this was not only an act of affection by giving it to David, but this was an act of submission. I realize that the hand of the Lord is upon David. David would take the precedence. Oh my, listen here. David would take the precedence and Jonathan would rejoice to take the back seat. What friendship. Let me repeat that again. David would take the precedence and Jonathan would rejoice to take the back seat. God's got an order for all things. I can't explain why God does things the way God does things, but He's God and beside Him there's none else, and He's sovereign and He puts in place whom He will put in place. And Jonathan had enough of God about him that he recognized the hand of God Almighty was on David. And Jonathan recognized the best thing I can do is be a friend to the man of God. Be a friend to the person that has the touch of God on them. And I'll gladly take the back seat and I'll support David through it all. Think the best thing you'll ever learn to do, and I'll ever learn to do, is when you recognize that somebody's got God all over them and you try to get as close to them as you can. And that doesn't mean you try to get in front of them. That means you try to get next to them and love them the best you can. Say amen right there. So many people try to get in front of people. Jonathan didn't try to compete with David and try to get in front of David. He said, I just want to be next to you, David. I want to love you with all my soul. I want to be knit to you. I want to be just as close to you as possible. Let's stop trying to compete with one another and recognize that person that's successful in the Lord. It'd just be good for us to brush up against them and get knit to them if possible, so they can rub a little God off on us and God off on one another, and we can be better friends together and better people together. And if we all have that attitude, guess what? We'll all be knit together. But I see so much of it. People trying to run in front of each other. We're not trying to run in front of each other. We're trying to run together. We're not trying to get in front of one another. We're trying to get knit together to all run together. You understand? Oh, it's thick. People say, well, it's thick among preachers. No, it's just thick among Christians. They're trying to run in front of, they're worried about, they're looking. Where's everybody else at? And they don't even know where they're at. Because they're trying. Well, I better get up. You're not trying to race your brother. You're trying to look towards the mark and press towards Jesus. He said, I recognize what's going on. And David said, Jonathan said, I'll let David take the precedence and I'll rejoice to take the back seat and knit myself to a young man that's got the favor and grace of God on him. Now truly this is astonishing. And truly this is Christian friendship at its best. But honestly, it's just truly God. What we've just explained. I want you to understand something here. And I hope I don't lose you when I say this. I'm not trying to have a friendship class, okay? There's some lessons we can learn and we will learn. We'll make some applications. But let me tell you what's happening right here. Only God could orchestrate something like this. Only God could do it. Every man that would be in a position, he's built in a king's home. He's been there with the king. Everything tends to Jonathan being envious and jealous to the core, just like his daddy. Only God can give favor like this. Only God can give grace like this. Maybe we can just say this. God, let me be like Jonathan all the way and nothing like Daddy Saul. Can we pray that right now? Let me be like Jonathan and not like nasty old Saul that's got a javelin in his hand in verse 7 ready to pin him to the wall. Say, yep, I think I want to be like Jonathan. Raise your hand. Amen. Amen. What about this friendship? Quickly jot these principles down. Friends are unselfish and sacrificial. Prince Jonathan was in the essence honoring David by giving him his robe. And you don't see any jealousy or rivalry whatsoever. He demonstrates to us everything that's in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 6. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Friends are unselfish and sacrificial. Number two, friends are trustworthy and loyal. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 17, 17. Those two made a covenant which committed them to one another, and the gift that was given sealed the covenant between them. Just so you know that I mean business, here you go, David. There's nothing wrong with tokens of love to let somebody know for sure, I appreciate you, I love you, you're my friend. Don't know what that is, and I'm scared to even say what it is, but whatever the Lord lays on your heart, if you want to be a real friend, just let it be known. Let them know it for sure. I'm in your corner, fighting with you and not against you. And I bet you there's a soul in here tonight that needs somebody like that. It'd do us no good. There'd be no evil in going a little bit further and letting somebody know, I'm in your corner. I'm in your prayer closet with you, praying for you if you need anything. Yeah. I texted these notes to somebody today. Out of the page that I was reading out of, to a group of probably 10 or 15 people. I thought it was so good, the page, I just sent it to a bunch of people. And somebody texted me back, and they said, please pray for me. I really need your prayers. I'm going through a really, really dark time. Now, I haven't done anything yet. I'll try to obey the Lord. But Peter, by that expression, saying I pray for you is probably not enough, wouldn't you agree? It's going to take a little bit more to let that person know they've got somebody on this side. They've got somebody on earth that's going to be more than send them back a prayer emoji. You see what I'm talking about? Send them back a like on a text thread. They're going to need a conversation. They're going to need a visit. You see what I'm talking about? Those gifts meant something. David knew. He means business. He just ain't lip servicing me here. He means business. He's given me the robes. He's given me everything. You understand what I'm saying? It might mean lunch. It might mean a knock on their door. It might mean a 30-minute conversation where they vomit all over you. You get what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? We've all had it before, right? People know you care when you can just listen to them. Friends love at all times. Friends are unselfish and trustworthy. Number three, friends strengthen and encourage one another. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Proverbs 27:17. David had a positive impact upon all those around him, but especially Jonathan. May we ask ourselves the question, are we drawing people to Christ? Number four, friends are sensitive to one another's needs. We're going to find out that Jonathan was sensitive through everything that David went through. Number five, friends are loyal during difficult times. Jonathan cared for David when Saul tried to kill him. After Jonathan's death, David cared for Jonathan's son Mephibosheth in the royal palace in chapter 22. He returned it back to him. See what I'm talking about? Through different seasons of life, oh my, listen real good. Different seasons of life, that friend cycle goes through where you'll need it one year, then your friend will need another year, and then it'll turn back around. You know what I'm talking about? And a true friend, sometimes they'll need it, and then the other person, it goes in cycles like that. Number six, friends communicate. Friends work and talk out problems that might arise. Relationships have to have communication. Husbands and wives have to talk. And problems many times or misunderstandings can be resolved just by talking. I'm not a psychiatrist, but sometimes you just need to sit down and talk with one another. And last of all, friends allow each other to minister to them. Hold with me 5 more minutes. Jonathan initiated everything in this text, right? He loved them as his own soul. Then they make a covenant together. He's not done yet. He said, I'm going to just load it on you. Here's my robe. Here's my armor. Jonathan initiated. It started with Jonathan. Hey, let me tell you something. Friendship starts with initiation. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Somebody's got to show it to make friends. You want more friends, be more friendly. You want more friends? Be more friends. You want more friends? Try to be a friend to everybody in the church house. Go to every aisle. Go to every hand. Go to every person. Somebody say amen. Yeah, everybody. I see some people, they're trying to get to every hand. God bless you. They get back to their pew and they're like, oh. Amen. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. Friends allow that to each other, though. Listen, David let him be a friend to him. You ever thought about that? Well, of course. Who wouldn't let him be a friend? You must have not lived long enough to see that some people don't let you be your friend. They block it. There's bitterness. Bitterness might have not been the problem with David. What would have been the problem with David? I just beat Goliath. I don't need you. I don't need you. Saul didn't give me no honor. He didn't remember me in 17. I don't need you. Don't you see what I just did? I'm a man of my own. Huh? See, some of the best tests of a man's, some of the best tests for a man is victory. Some of the best tests for a man is not criticism, but victory. Jonathan initiated it, but David received it. How pitiful would have it been to have somebody so precious from God, from God, to come to you and then you not receive it? So I don't think that would ever happen. I know it could have happened. If Jonathan, if David is full of pride right here, he wouldn't have received it. If David thought he was in competition with Jonathan, just like Jonathan thought he was in competition with David, it would not have happened. If they thought they were seeing who could run the furthest and kill the most, it would have never happened, would it, Brother Jeff? Just like when we were talking about being in competition, Jonathan to David, David to Jonathan works both the same way, but they both were knit together. They both made a covenant together. Mm-hmm. Works both ways. David receiving the friendship is almost more precious than Jonathan initiating it. It's a sad thing to see people want to love people, but somewhere, and I'm not bitter, somewhere they just can't receive it. They can't let it in. They've done back themselves back into the cave of bitterness. The devil got a stronghold on their life, and they run away from help. Some folks don't allow other people to help them. The devil done did something back in their life. I don't know what the hurt is, but it's still fresh like it was yesterday, but it was 30 years ago. I wish I could put a salve on the wound and fix it, but only God can. You pray for him. You see great humility after David, you see great humility after a victory by David, allowing Jonathan to befriend him. So what does this leave us with? It leaves us with just a few things. Number one, God is the author of friendship. If you've got one friend, two friends, five friends, and by the way, let me tell you something, young people, I think the older folks in here know better, I think. You don't have as many friends as you think. You got some acquaintances. I've got 1,000 friends on Facebook. That's hilarious, right? Everybody laugh out loud real good. I mean, 150 people like my post, brother buddy. Ha, 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 that's funny. Don't be fooled by the vanity of social media. Seriously, you've got very few. But if you've got very few, you're a blessed man. If they're loyal to you, God is the author of those few. And by the way, you don't need a lot of friends. And don't try to win a lot of friends and impress people to have a lot of friends. Just love all people the same way. And you leave the results up to God, who will be loyal back to you. You understand that? You leave that up to God. You be loyal and true blue to as many people as you can. And I want God to enlarge my heart to be as loyal and help as many people as possible and not get hurt when they don't reciprocate it back to me. And you be the same way. And God's the author of the favor and the blessing. I need help with that. I need help with that. It's easy. God is the author of true friendship. Number two, dealing with success can be difficult as dealing with defeat. David passed, right? He dealt with success well because he was humble enough to receive the friendship. Number three, every David needs a friend. Every leader needs a loyal, true friend. Every pastor needs a friend. Every boss needs a friend. That doesn't mean you go eat dinner together with your boss, but somebody that's real, true, and loyal. Every man at the top is just a little bit lonely, and they've accepted that responsibility. See, David had thousands singing and praising his name, and, oh, David, you're so great. One, Jonathan. Oh, if he didn't have Jonathan, he'd have just heard the empty praise of those that had probably ill intentions for him. They were just singing so they'd see him praise him. You tracking me? One Jonathan. Every David needs a friend. You think of some people, you think, oh, they don't need a friend. They've got it all put together. They've got all their ducks in a row, all their I's dotted, and all their T's crossed. Don't be fooled. That person needs a friend just like anybody else. And number four, you can't choose who will be loyal to you, but you can choose who you can be loyal to. A friend loveth at all times. And the brightness of it all is Jesus. He is the friend that has loved you at all times. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. His mercies are new every morning. He's a brother born in adversity. A friend loveth at all times. And if he's been that faithful to you and I, we can be faithful to one another and love one another at all times and be a friend to others as Jesus has been a friend to us. A friendship like none other. I want to be like Jonathan. I want to be like Jonathan. Who wants to be like Jonathan? I want to be like Jonathan. Oh, I don't want to be like nasty old Saul. Bitter, jealous, envious, ready to destroy people. I want to be like Jonathan, and I want to knit myself together with people that have the power and touch of God on them. I don't want to compete with you. I don't want us to compete with one another. I want us to knit ourselves together and advance for the glory of God. Let's stand together if you would, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this message.